Good morning, everyone. It's been very good to be here. Thanks for those songs and the lessons we've already heard. I've been blessed. All right. Well, if you want to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to be looking at primarily 1 Corinthians 13, but starting in 12 a bit. So this morning, we are a group of people gathered together with differences and different gifts, different personalities, and yet this passage talks about how that's God's plan, that we can be different and yet work together, bless each other, help each other become more complete. And so I would like to just talk about relating to each other in the church as individuals, and looking at God's word here in 1 Corinthians. So I appreciate the prayers that have already been given on my behalf, and I'm going to trust the Lord to speak through me. I know His word is living and rich, and so I'll just faithfully do my part, and I think it's going to be good. So let's start by just reading 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. God tells us that we are part of the body. We've already heard that mentioned this morning, I think. It's this example of a body with different parts, and how we as a church, as people, are similar to that. Different individuals, different parts of one body. And we're going to be talking about relationships in the church this morning here. And talking about trying to learn more about God's plan for His people. And the good thing is that God's people are not secluded. It's God's will that anybody can be saved. And so this is good news. It's not to just a certain special people group. It's to all people. And so we want to learn, get more familiar with God's plan for how that works. So, like it says there, we're part of the body. And then the last verse of chapter 12. Sorry, I'll just scan through the next couple verses a bit. Verse 28 and 29, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. So He describes these different gifts, those that work miracles, healing, helps, etc. And then He says, are all apostles, are all prophets. So God has planned it to be that there's different individual gifts, and yet, like it says in verse 29, well, Paul asks the questions, do we all possess the ability of complete ability in these different gifts? And the answer is no. We don't all possess all the gifts to the same ability. And so then verse 31, it says, but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Another version for that verse 31 says, you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. So, what is this way of life? What is this excellent way? It's love. And that's what my message is centered around. It's trying to understand God's love more in how we relate to each other. Because as we go into chapter 13 here, the focus is on what love is. And so the title of my message is that we are channels of God's love. And my focus is mostly, as we interact in the church, just looking at that, our relationships in the church. So, I feel like my time's going to go fast, but I'm just going to go at it. First of all, I'm just going to draw a van. We recently bought a minivan, and maybe I should just do one thing at once here. That is good enough. So, all right. Anyway, you can picture a nice minivan. And we're excited about that, and I just thought of how a van has lots of moving parts. And so I thought of the example how the oil that makes all those parts work, it's like love. So as we operate in our relationships, our friendships, God's love is like the oil that makes a van work. The van has lots of specific parts that are different from each other, yet they all need oil, and it's essential. And just like that, God's love is completely necessary in our relationships as a church. So let's continue on here and discover more of what love really is. Because when we understand that love, it's something God wants to have flow in our relationships in abundance, in full supply. And all right, let's just start reading here. Chapter 13, so verse 1 through 3. So there's these different gifts, but then Paul says he has this better way. There's this more excellent way, and that's love. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." So those verses describe many good gifts, many good things that we can do, and yet if we're missing love in how we're operating, they are vain. And from another translation, it kind of breaks it down to different words, but the same message, I believe. So, although we speak with tongues, have that spiritual, you know, activity of speaking with tongues, although we have the gift of all prophecy, though we have all faith, though we give everything that we have to feed the poor, though I sacrifice my comforts to the greatest degree, if I don't have love, it's meaningless. So this is an important message, and you know, I think it's good for us just to be reminded. And so it's an important concept that the Lord is warning us about. He's saying, don't do all these good things, but miss doing it with love. He says, well, a thought I had is that we don't want to be that we can't do God's work our way. Like, that's not going to work. To do these things for God and yet do it our way without his love, without him being the center of it. Made me think of John 15, again, where it just says that we can do nothing without Jesus, that he's the vine and we're the branch, and without me you can do nothing. So we need God in the middle, and that's what I'm trying to expound on here. And so let's continue on down to chapter 13, verse 4. And 4 through 8. It says, now it's describing the different things that love is. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. So again, just expounding on that, what are the different aspects of love that are described here? I've got a list here, and you know, it's being patient, kind. So as I go through this list, maybe we can just think of what is our own perception, our own, like Brother Arnold was saying, you know, we can see something and yet we have a perspective that can be different, whether it's earthly or natural or spiritual, I guess, right? So when we just think of love, interacting with love in the church or in any relationship, but what's our own natural view of that? And I thought of how, for me, I'll speak for me, is like the natural view of that is just to be polite and, you know, friendly and make people feel good, I guess. Like, if I think of naturally, just to try to make things work, make people feel good, like just to be a nice person, basically. But that's, like, God's love goes way beyond that. It's different than that. So that's part of what I'd like us to be able to do, is just let our view of love, operating God's love in the church, let it just be, you know, clarified, I guess, with what that looks like compared to what we just think ourselves naturally. So it is patient and kind. It's but then it goes on to more things. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. And, you know, if we just operate naturally, we're going to be well, I would be proud sometimes and rude sometimes if I just acted how I felt, right? So then it does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs, just like that forgiveness we heard about from Brother Dave. Does not rejoice in injustice, but in but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful. Love endures through every circumstance. So other mentions of God's love are like in the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then it goes on to say joy, peace, etc. But the first one mentioned there is love. So God's Spirit working in us will be, love is one of those operations that flow out of that. And also, John 13, it says, "New commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now that's the difference, right? So we can just say, yeah, we're going to try to love each other, but it's as I have loved you. So again, we're trying to clarify our view of what God's love is. And this verse continues to say, or these two verses, "Love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." And I was just considering that. So that shows that it's a different kind of love. It's not just a normal love. Because the world, people that don't know God, they will notice that something's different. Because it says, by this, because of our love for each other in the church, or people will notice our love for each other, and that it's God's love, and that it's different than what they've seen before. And so, so I'm kind of just trying to explain is that God's love is different, and it's better, and it's just far beyond what our own love for each other is. And, okay, well, I feel a little too nervous to be a good artist, but whatever, we'll just put it up here. So yesterday, this is super simple, but that can be okay too. Not yesterday, Friday. We had a trust day. We built a shop at our place. We're building a shop, and on Friday we had a trust day, and there was close to 20 guys that came and volunteered, and in one day we got a lot done, put all the trusses up, and it's a large enough shop that if it was just two or three people, it would have taken multiple days. And thinking this love one for another, so that's one aspect of it, is working together. And I was receiving on Friday, like all these brothers came and friends and to bless me, and we had a good time. God blessed it. It was really great. It was a good experience. And that's one aspect of God's love operating in the church, is practically helping each other. And some brothers that are here this morning were helping me, so I'm very glad for that. And I thought of how, so we were all there spread out on the building, you know, with different tools, doing different things, but our goal was all the same. It's to put up this roof system, right? And so in that case, because we all had the same goal, we worked together well, and it was successful. And that's easy to understand. And I think in the church, you know, we do have the same goal. You know, that's important, is to operate in the kingdom of God, to do God's work, to follow Jesus. You know, there's a similar goal, but what I want to add to that is, well, before I say that, when we were working on our shop Friday, if we wouldn't have had the same goal, it would have been a problem. You know, some people will be putting nails in, other people will be taking nails out. Some people will be cutting the board at the right place, other, you know. If some people were there actually with a different goal, it just would have completely not worked. It would have been chaos. So having the same goal is important. But what I'm trying to focus on here is, in the church, that God's love is like a resource to reach that same goal. And there's a lot of different programs, businesses, activities that we can do without God and still make it work because they have the same goal. But in the church, it's different. We actually cannot be successful in church life without God's love as our resource of how we work together. So I'm not sure if that can be easily understood, but I just wanted to try to clarify that. And that's an amazing thing, is that it is God's love that makes us able to work together in a way that would be completely impossible otherwise. And so the fruit of the Spirit is love. And in the last few minutes here, I just want to just kind of try to summarize things. again putting the focus on God's love being the only way that we can work together and have good relationships in the church. So I just thought of this as I was sitting down here this morning. So I'll just quick make a sketch. And the church is made of many different people and brothers and sisters, young and old. So and just a little picture of how God's love is at the center of us as individuals working together. And so I thought of how we can ask God, you know, so if this is what we want, is to be successful in church life, then we need God's love. Without it, we can do nothing. Without it, everything is vain. That's what God tells us. And so we can ask God, is there something hindering me from being effective as a channel of your love in my relationships within the church? I think it's good to, like, we need to just keep asking God to help us let this take place. And along with that, I heard, I think it was Brother Frank Dyke that mentioned once that just the phrase of walking in repentance or living in repentance. And I think that's the only time I've heard that, like, not just when you feel like, when you see that you failed or messed up, then repent, but what he mentioned one time was walking in repentance, and I don't know if I even fully understand what he meant, but what I took from it was just living in a way, living in an attitude of always wanting to be corrected, always wanting to grow, and wanting to change. And so in this area, let's do that. Let's just let God show us how to help us put our own view of what love for each other is aside and take on his view more and more, take on his truth of what God's love working in us and through us is. So yeah, we should separate our own natural idea of what love is from what God's description is, his genuine love. So let's look again at the things that God explains his love, the ways God explains his love. I'll just look at a few and then I should leave it at that. So, does not demand our own way. So it's that humility, that workability, laying down our own will. The one song we sang this morning talked about, Lord, take my will, let it be thine, right? So laying down our own will, being workable, humble, not being proud or rude. And that's not natural to give that up. Like, that's God's work in us, his Holy Spirit. It's his love that will replace that and turn that into something good. It never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful. There's a lot of things that we naturally view as impossible when it comes to relationships. And without God, we would just a lost cause. But with God's with God's love working in the body of believers, he's a redeeming God. Everything is possible. To whatever potential we let God work, it's us that gets in the way of God doing redeeming works. I think you know what I mean. Keeps no record of wrong. Let's keep operating forgiveness. And yeah, I think I'll just leave it at that. Maybe the Lord can just continue to stir our thoughts in that direction of learning what it looks like to operate as a church with his love being part of every interaction we have, where we lay down our own selves and take up his way of doing relationships. So I think that's where I'll leave it, and may the Lord bless his word and help us to understand and to live it out.